right. Good morning, everybody. Today is Wednesday, July 8th, 2015. And this is Before the First Cup with Jules here on UCY.TV. Happy Wednesday, everybody. It is 63 degrees and mostly cloudy here in upstate New York. We had quite a bit of rain come through over the last 24 hours, but I think that front is finished. And at least it's not hot and humid because, I really can't handle hot and humid. Cool and sunny is good with me. So where do we leave off yesterday? We titled the show Internet Devolution, Manipulating Brain Chems and Morals. And if you remember, we ended the show looking at an experiment that they did utilizing electric shocks in different depression drugs to see whether or not someone would be more willing to hurt others for money. It sounds pretty awful. And what we discovered is if you were on the dopamine booster, that you would be more apt to harm someone. But when you were on the serotonin booster, you would be more apt to pay twice as much money for nobody to get hurt. And, some of the questions that that raises and really makes you gotta wonder, because then when, way back when we started looking at all of the things that cause you to produce dopamine, video games being one, your electronic smart devices, every time you get an email, ding, it's the reward chemical, and our entire civilization has been built on the dangling carrot, the dopamine. Dopamine gives you the pleasure when you finally get something that you've wanted. Yeah, here, hold on. So I did a whole bunch more after the show was over, so we're gonna look at some of this. Some of the things that cause you to produce dopamine, drugs, of course, it is the addictive chemical, cocaine, amphetamines, tobacco, alcohol. Another thing, video games. This one surprised me. Music. Research has shown that increased levels of dopamine, as well as increased activities in the pleasure centers while listening to music. Now, I could tell you, I definitely get a high when I hear the right kind of music. It's just awesome, but I don't think I ever felt addicted by it. I would like to dig more into that, but oh yeah, there's a PDF here. The rewards of music listening. It is the reward system. The other one, though, we knew this one, high fructose corn syrup, that interacts on the same part of the brain as cocaine. Can you even believe that? Because I know I can. Fast food, high fat, high sugar foods. High fat, high sugar foods stimulate the pleasure center, and they were not a part of our natural environment. Fast food is a man-made creation. So think about this. We can be manipulated and controlled by our smart devices, video games, television, any type of addictive drug or substance, as well as high fat and high sugar foods. It's like the whole Western culture. And they've been able to manipulate this brain chemical that what turns you into a psychopath? Yes, it turns you into a psychopath. Hold on, we're gonna go back down. Sorry, guys, I am kind of out of it today. We hoofed it back home kind of late yesterday, and I had all kinds of catching up to do, so you know how it is. I just, it never ends. It never ends. Hold on. Every time I keep hitting this link, it is taking me into edit mode, and I don't want to do that. There we go. Maybe. All right, here, let's go into one of the things I talked about before, and we looked at the studies on this, where they were looking at video gamers. And they found that kids that were addicted to video games had an increase in their brain size in the area where the brain produces dopamine, and it required them to produce more dopamine to function. And when they compared it to the brains of psychopaths, it was the same mechanism that was going on in the psychopathic brain. And I think they did them with fMRIs, as they discovered in kids who had video gaming addictions. Video games can activate the brain's pleasure circuits. Like cigarettes, video games can cause rapid brain dopamine release. Winning money from gambling activated the brain's pleasure circuits. While money is not an intrinsic evolutionary salient reward in the same way that food, water, and sex are, one could argue that it has come to represent the possibility of intrinsic rewards, and so activation of the pleasure circuits by money is not strictly arbitrary. This begs the question, can the human pleasure circuit be activated by stimuli that are entirely arbitrary? Well, video games could be a good test case for this question, as they may not provide an intrinsic reward. Alan Rice and his co-workers at Stanford University, yeah, a great place to be studying this, performed brain scanning on subjects playing simple video games. The subjects were 11 males and 11 female Stanford students, selected to have similar moderate previous experience with video games and computers in general. The video game involved a screen with a vertical dividing line, leftward moving balls on the right side, which the player could click to remove. When a ball hit the divider, it caused the divider to slightly move forward, reducing the player's quote-unquote territory on the left-hand side of the screen. Conversely, for each second that the area near the divider was kept clear of balls, it would move rightward, gaining territory for the player. The only instruction given was, quote, click on as many balls as possible, unquote. All players soon deduced the point of the game and adopted a click strategy to increase their territory. In all subjects, gameplay activated a large number of brain regions, including those associated with visual processing, visual spatial attention, motor function, and sensory motor integration. And while not surprising are those results for this task, what was interesting is that the key regions of the medial forebrain pleasure circuit were also activated, including the nucleus accumbens, as well as the obligata, the orbital frontal cortex as well. And while both men and women showed activation in these regions during game trials, the effect was significantly stronger in men. The most provocative aspect of these results is the general finding: video gameplay, a completely unnatural behavior divorced from intrinsic reward, activated the pleasure circuit to some degree in all subjects. Perhaps video games tap into some very general pleasure related to agency and goal fulfillment, and it is also likely that many video games offer a variety of highly effective reward schedules. Just like puffing cigarettes, the pleasurable moments they provide are brief, and they have rapid onset and are often repeated. The increased level of activation in men is also interesting, but somewhat harder to interpret. Is there something general about video games that makes them more pleasurable for men? Or is there something about gaining territory in a video game that is particularly male-focused? Like I said yesterday, all of these brain chemical reactions that we have all go back to our basic days of survival. And dopamine production, adrenaline production, you know, fight or flight, all of those brain chemicals came into play when we were trying to, you know, hunt, gather, fight, flight, war, make territory, survive through a winter, harvest, you know. And they've hijacked it. They've hijacked our brain chemicals to create a control system. And I mentioned yesterday as well, about when we first saw 20 years ago now, that very first video game being skewed Annie. It was the place for anyone who was selling any computer products online that they got them from. I worked for a very large distributor, and it was the very, very first game from the Department of Defense. Shoot 'em up, fly 'em up, video game that was ever queued up to be purchased by the general public. And what happened was they hijacked our children's brains. They got them to play these games so it improved their spatial and all these different areas of the brain that make them good at flying and make them good at calculating distances or whatever, and produced dopamine, that dangling carrot reward system, every time they dropped a bomb or, you know, killed somebody or, I don't know, landed, got a new level, got a new plane, add-on, whatever. I don't play video games, if you could tell. Grand Theft Auto, every time they kill somebody else or steal something else. And the disturbing trend here is, as we were reading in the story yesterday, that as the need for dopamine increases, your morals decrease. And so the stealing, robbing, no morals, anything goes, lack of complete and utter compassion for others because it's all about you, the narcissist, has all been orchestrated. All of it. It's like the zombie in our family. They are creating enemies, and not maybe not enemies per se, but almost like agents that can be turned on when they need to be within our own families. I mean, I can see like the flip of a switch. When my kid gets in front of a game, I told her, you're like a junkie. I don't let her play games, but you can't stop them. You know, they find things and then they get things and I will come around and I'm like, what are you doing? Oh, nothing. But it's constant. It's a constant battle now to try to keep her away from video games. They're all over online. They're free. You know, you can play this, that, or the other thing. She's found them. And it's like a crack addict. You know, and what gets me is if I say no, and I mean no, I'm done. That's it. Now, 2 seconds later, we're downstairs. I'm like, where'd she go? She's upstairs again, in the bedroom, in front of the computer. And I mean, this can go on all night long, and it drives me crazy. But it's the dangling carrot, and it is so addictive and so strong that I can absolutely see why they wanted to tap into that to be able to control people. And when you look at the high fructose corn syrup and, I mean, music, that's surprising to me. And we know that there was a lot of MK Ultra type stuff that went on through music in the 60s, but it is the control of the brain chemicals, specifically the dopamine. All right, I don't know if that had a point. I dug in more yesterday, and I actually found this whole website dedicated to dopamine and evilness, but I don't know if I'm mentally spry enough to deal with that today. But here's a good story we'll look at, and then I have a couple clips I'm going to play because, hey, I'm back at home. All right, anti-intellectualism and the dumbing down of America. Thank you to NoPartySystem.com for this one this morning. There's a growing anti-intellectual dumbing down of our culture that is going on right now. It is a growing and disturbing trend of anti-intellectual elitism in American culture. It is the dismissal of science, the arts, humanities, and their replacement by entertainment, self-righteousness, ignorance, and deliberate gullibility. I better make sure, speaking of dumbness, make sure I'm on the air. I am. Okay. Susan Jacoby, author of The Age of American Unreason, says in an article in the Washington Post, quote, "Dumbness, to paraphrase the late Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, has been steadily defined downward for several decades by a combination of heretofore irresistible forces. These include the triumph of video culture over print culture, the disjunction between America's rising levels of formal education and their shaky grasp of basic geography, science, and history, and the fusion of anti-rationalism with anti-intellectualism." I mean, is it supposed to be cool to be stupid? Is that what they're saying? I don't know what's going on, but they're definitely, like I said yesterday, devolution. We are devolving. And whether or not it's intentional or it's being done to us, it's happening. It's like a chemical frontal lobotomy that's being performed without you knowing about it. And I'm going to have to agree. I'm going to tell you, dopamine is a very important component to this dumbing down and being able to dangle the carrot and manipulate you like a mouse in a maze with a piece of cheese or some peanut butter. Because the sugary foods, high fructose corn syrup, fat, and McDonald's type garbage, the video games, your mobile device, the pharmaceuticals, they're giving you pharmaceuticals that are dopamine boosting. That's going to be a pretty fast addiction to that pharmaceutical now, isn't it? Since it's stimulating the addiction center in your brain. And we're going to get back, actually. Once I play a video and I have time to like adjust, because the lights in here are so bright. It's just, I'm not using this computer screen. I'm still half asleep. I'm going to find all the things. We'll find that dopamine page. And we're going to find all the things that interacting with that dopamine section of the brain causes. I mean, it literally makes you want to cheat, beg, borrow, steal, kill. And you don't give a shit about who you hurt to get what you need. Anyone who's been a junkie, anyone who's been addicted to something that's a bad substance knows what that whole feeling is about. That's what we're doing to our kids. And I was with a neighbor the other day, and we're talking away, and they seem pretty cool. I'd only met them a couple times. And we're talking about just some of the crap that's going on, and she makes this comment about her kid. About at least your kid isn't out stealing or causing trouble on the streets. He just sits at home and plays his video games and doesn't bother anybody. And I bit my tongue. I didn't. That wasn't some place to go with a neighbor you've only met a couple times. But I was thinking to myself, man, you just don't know, honey, that actually that video game is preparing your kid and making your kid into one of those people that's out on the streets stealing and playing knockout or whatever, breaking into drugstores to steal pharmaceuticals. That's what's making them like this. All right, anyway, back to the story. There's been a long tradition of anti-intellectualism in America, unlike most other Western countries. Richard Hofstadler, who won a Pulitzer Prize in 1964 for his book Anti-Intellectualism in America, describes how the vast underlying foundations of anti-elite, anti-reason, and anti-science have been infused into America's political and social fabric. Famous science fiction writer Isaac Asimov had once said, quote, "There is a cult of ignorance in the United States, and there has always been. The strain of anti-intellectualism, Jesus, the strain of anti-intellectualism has been a constant thread winding its way through our political and cultural life, nurtured by the false notion that democracy means that my ignorance is just as good as your knowledge." Is that what that means? I didn't realize going all the way back to Asimov we've had this problem, but it seems to be a plague now. And you know, when you start thinking then about the way they used to spin the whole zombie apocalypse, I really do think it's stupid people. There's another, guys, you know what? I watch the DICE petition videos just because every time I do, I shake my head and go, oh my God, we're doomed. And there was a new one that came out the other day about, do you know who George Orwell is or what the book 1984 was about? We might have to play some of that later because, again, just I'm flabbergasted. Absolutely flabbergasted. I had to go drop it on my old English teacher's Facebook page. One of the things we read that book in high school. And that is one of the things that she had always said is when the New York State education system would come down on them and told them that Chaucer's Canterbury Tales and things like Orwell's 1984 and Sir Gawain and the Green Knight. Oh, what was the other one? The first epic, Beowulf, that they were all too difficult for high school students to read these days. And so they're not allowed to teach them anymore. She had a fit. She's like, oh my God, it's the dumbing down of our children. And she was right. That was 20 years ago. They pushed that stuff. They weren't allowed to teach any of that stuff in high school anymore. They could read Stephen King novels in English class. And I mean, hey, I'm not bashing Stephen King. I was a fan of his when I was like 12, but I haven't read Stephen King in a very long time. And it was just more pleasure reading. It wasn't a lot of intellectual reading. All right, getting back to this story. Where did I leave off? Oh, yeah, Isaac Asimov. The strain of anti-intellectualism has been a constant thread winding its way through our political and cultural life, nurtured by the false notion that democracy means that my ignorance is just as good as your knowledge. And I'm going to say bullshit to that one because my knowledge can run circles around your ignorance. Mark Ballerline, Balling, maybe. Let me try this again. Mark Bauerlein, maybe that's how you say it. In his book, The Dumbest Generation, reveals how a whole generation of youth is being dumbed down by their aversion to reading anything of substance and their addiction to digital quote unquote crap via social media. Journalist Charles Pierce, author of Idiot America, adds another perspective. Apparently, there's quite a lot of books out there. I didn't realize that there were so many books pointing out how stupid we've become. He adds another perspective. Quote, "The rise of Idiot America today represents, for profit mainly, but also and more cynically, for political advantage in the pursuit of power, the breakdown of a consensus that the pursuit of knowledge is good." Yeah. And I mean, they've taken this to the nth degree now. The pursuit of knowledge makes you a terrorist. The pursuit of knowledge makes you a conspiracy theorist. Notice how they flip that around. So anyone who is a thinking human being has something wrong with them, needs to be medicated. Because, hey, if you're paying too much attention, you're watching them rip the fixtures off the walls right now and chucking them out the back door. Says it, all right, the breakdown of a consensus that the pursuit of knowledge is good, it also represents the ascendancy of the notion that the people whom we should trust the least are the people who best know what they are talking about. In the new media age, everybody is an expert. And you know, that's exactly what they've done. The people we should trust the least are the ones that are portraying that they know the most of what they're talking about. And the completely uneducated, unpaying attention public believes everything they say because what? Oh, I don't know. They're on TV. So they must be important. Quote, there's a pervasive suspicion of rights, privileges, knowledge, and specializations as Catherine Liu, author of American Idol, IDYLL, Academic Anti-Elitism as a Cultural Critique, and a film and media studies professor at the University of California. The very mission of universities has changed, argues Liu. We don't educate people anymore. We train them to get jobs. Now, that's even at a college level. So don't waste your $300,000, mommy and daddy, to get Johnny a college education where you think he's going to learn to think for himself. Not going to happen. They're going to teach Johnny to service the robots that are doing all the jobs here in the very near future. I saw at the Ford plant in Buffalo, they had a whole bunch of heavy-duty machinery there yesterday as we drove past, and it looks like they are retrofitting more robots into the manufacturing stamping plant for floor pans and whatever else they make there. At one point, there were thousands of people that worked in that factory. That was one of the main hubs here in the Northeast for, I think they did just about every floor pan and front and rear quarter panels, I think. I don't know. They did a lot of the Mustang stuff. And before a lot of it got shipped to Mexico and NAFTA. And then what did they do? They brought in all the robots. And that was cool for a while because the guys were like, hey, now we have help, you know, lifting, moving, stamping, lifting, moving, stamping. But now what's happened is it's been slimmed down. I mean, from when there used to be thousands and thousands of workers at that plant, and now maybe, and honestly, I have no idea what the numbers are. I really don't. But I've been told that there's only a few thousand left in that plant, and most of it is all automated. And, you know, the automotive industry is someplace that this great sucking sound has been happening longer than a lot of other industries. But it's coming, people. They're planning on automating everything. So little Johnny, going for your $300,000 education where mommy and daddy thought it was going to teach you to think, guess what? It's going to teach you to push the button that turns the robots on and off. Part of the reason for the rising anti-intellectualism, back to the story, can be found in the declining state of education in the U.S. compared with other advanced countries. After leading the world for decades in the 25 to 34-year-old with university degrees, the U.S. is now in 12th place. The World Economic Forum ranked the U.S. at 52nd among 139 nations in the quality of its university math and science instruction in 2010. Nearly 50% of all graduate students in the sciences in the U.S. are foreigners, and I can attest to that even back in the 80s and 90s. We had a huge Chinese contingent and India. There were a lot of people from India at the University of Buffalo. Nearly 50% of all graduate students in the sciences are in the U.S. are foreigners, most of whom are returning to their home countries. The Oklahoma Council of Public Affairs commissioned a civic education poll among public school students, and a surprising 77% did not know that George Washington was the very first president. What? 77% of public school students in Oklahoma did not know that the first president was George Washington. Nor could they name Thomas Jefferson as the author of the Declaration of Independence. See, guys, there was that Mark Dice clip that we heard yesterday at the very end of the show about who inked the Declaration of Independence, what year was it written, who were we breaking away from, and nobody knew but the guy visiting from Italy. It is very apparent to me that this idiocracy that they're creating, and it only takes a generation or two, they've conquered us already. Think about it. There's no fight left. You see how there's protests going on all over the world, and whether or not they're orchestrated or color revolutions, at least those people still get up off their ass and have something to say and understand the issues and know what they're fighting for and know what they're trying to take away from them. In this country, we don't have a fucking clue. We don't understand politics. We don't understand the issues. We don't give a shit, honestly, as long as we have our video games, our pot, our alcohol, got our craft beer flowing. And I gotta say, I enjoy my craft beer. But all of those addictive substances, your high fructose corn syrup, your greasy cheeseburgers from McDonald's, it's the entire Western lifestyle. Take a look at everything we just read. It is the dopamine addiction that has broken America and made us stupid and made us absolutely ripe for takeover. And guess what? There don't have to be any armies marching in. We're just going to hand it all over. Martial law comes to Boston, and all the people just step right up, open their doors, and let the military go walking through to sweep their house to make sure that someone didn't get into their house while they weren't paying attention. They did the same thing with the escaped convicts up in upper New York and in southern New York when they thought that they were down in the southern tier. Those people just let them all come in. No search warrant. Come search their homes because, I don't know, he could have just appeared, I guess, out of thin air in my house. Come right in. You know, we're just bending over. Raising taxes, I don't know, changing the Constitution, executive orders. NSA is allowed to spy again. Did you guys see that? They said it's okay now for at least 6 months. I think we talked about that. So now all the private industry can get up to speed to spy on you. Nobody says a fucking word. We're just passive because we don't care anymore. As long as we're satiated with our addiction, and that's what a junkie's like. Look at a heroin junkie. That's all a heroin junkie wants is their next fix. And if you give them their next fix, they're not going to give you any problems. If you don't give them their next fix, that's when the shit hits the fan. I honestly, all my years in technology, guys, I'm telling you, I was the sci-fi, let's head to the future. I wanted it all to happen. And I am 100% against all this crap now because look what it's done to us. It is destroying our culture. Technology, mad science gone, man, is going to destroy human 1.0s. They're trying to make us human 2.0s. We're going to look at that, too. DARPA's got some crazy-ass brain shit going on right now. All right, let me finish the story. It is kind of long, but I thought that this was very important to read. And only 2.8% of these students in Oklahoma actually passed the citizenship test. And these were American citizens. Only 2.8%. Bravo, global elite. You have managed to dumb down America to where there is no fucking hope. 2.8% of students could pass their own citizenship test. Along similar lines, the Goldwater Institute of Phoenix did the same survey. And only 3.5% of students passed the civics test in Phoenix. According to the National Research Council report, only 28% of high school science teachers consistently followed the National Research Council's guidelines on teaching evolution. Only 28%. And 13% of those 28% explicitly advocate creationism or intelligent design. Now, one footnote there. I am not against intelligent design because if you really look into the math and the nuts and bolts of the universe and all that goes along with it, and I'm not talking about somebody sitting in a big throne pointing at things. I'm talking about how math is music. Math is music. Music is math. Everything is waves. It's all unified. Everything is unified. It's not, I do not think that it is all just random events that happened. I think there was some intelligence behind it. But I don't think it's some big guy in the sky who's sitting there judging everybody when they die, because I really don't think so. If anything, I think it's some sort of intelligent, way intelligent race of some living creatures somewhere along the way, and we're just one big fat fucking experiment. I told you guys this before. On reality, intergalactic reality TV called Earth. And we're probably a bestseller because we fight and kill each other more than any other. You know, a lot of science as well has been showing that they really think that we're in just one big fat hologram. So who knows? Who knows? But regardless, evolution happens on this planet. And the fact that out of only the 28% of high school science teachers that teach it, only 13 of those percent advocate creationism. I think that that's got to tell you something. Poof, the universe is only 1,000 years old, and poof, we waved a wand. We spoke a word, and it was here. 18% of Americans still believe that the sun revolves around the earth, according to a Gallup poll. And the American Association of State Colleges and Universities report on education shows that the U.S. ranks second among all nations in the proportion of population between ages 35 and 64 with a college degree, but 19th in the percentage of those 25 to 34 with an associate or high school diploma, which means that for the first time ever, the educational attainment of young people will be lower than their parents. Well, kind of equals along with the way the earnings in the middle class is going as well, so don't worry about it. Third world nation coming soon to a country near you. According to a 2009 National Assessment of Educational Progress, 68% of public school children in the U.S. do not read proficiently by the time they finish third grade. 68%. I have to tell you, we have thousands of books here. There's like an 8-shelf bookcase in my kids' room that is jam-packed. And yes, it's all in order. I made her put them in order, not only by author, but by fiction versus nonfiction, and then by size. I'm a stickler about that. All my books have some order to them. But my kid reads like 8 books a night if she's reading the short ones, or 6 book series in a week. I remember as a kid I was an avid reader. My mother's always been an avid reader. She would go to garage sales and buy boxes of, you know, 1,000-page books and would plow through them in a 24-hour period, like gardening with one hand and reading a novel in the other. It keeps your synapses firing. If for nothing else, you learn something new every day. You know, this flabby brain, this augmented cognition we were talking about yesterday, this personal digital assistant. I just saw actually something really disturbing in my email, which I don't know if I'm going to get to it today. We might have to skip because this story is super long. We might have to go back to the story, the rest of it tomorrow, because there is some DARPA stuff, unless maybe I just hit the DARPA stuff tomorrow, but there's some major shit that they are doing now with implants and your implantable personal digital assistant, like I was talking about yesterday. The story I talked about yesterday I'd read quite a while ago, but bang, here it is, brand new story in my mailbox last night. Well, I don't know. Maybe we should continue here because this is really disturbing. So 68% of public school children in the U.S. do not read proficiently by the time they finish third grade. And the U.S. News and World reported that barely 50% of students are ready for college-level reading when they graduate. According to a 2006 survey by the National Geographic Roper, which I don't know what that is, nearly half of Americans between the ages of 18 and 24 do not think that it is necessary to know the locations of other countries in which important news is being made. More than a third consider it, quote, not at all important, unquote, to know a foreign language. I got an English degree. I took 8 years of French and 2 years of Polish. It causes new areas of your brain to wake up. So I don't know where they're thinking. How? Oh, my God. And only 14% consider it, quote, very important. According to the National Endowment of the Arts report in 82% of college graduates read novels or poems for pleasure. And two decades later, so this was in 2002, only 67% did. More than 40% of Americans under 44 did not read a single book, fiction or nonfiction, over the course of an entire year. And the proportion of 17-year-olds who read nothing unless it is required by school has doubled between 1984 and 2004. A Gallup poll released indicates that 42% of Americans still believe God created human beings in their present form less than 10,000 years ago. That's almost half of Americans. And in 2008, and I mean, I guess it depends on how you define God. Like I said, I think some advanced race could have potentially created us, whether we are physical or some sort of holographic creation or some sort of synthetic biology created by super science. Had you asked me that 30 years ago, I might not have believed it. 20 years ago, I kind of believed it, and I used to joke when the Hare Krishnas or Jehovah's Witnesses would show up at the door and I told them God was an alien. But as I get older and as technology now is to a level where it doesn't look like magic anymore, right? I mean, we're splicing and dicing DNA like it's Tinker Toys. You know, it looks more and more plausible. 2008 University of Texas study found that 25% of public school biology teachers believe that humans and dinosaurs inhabited the Earth simultaneously. 25% of biology teachers. In American schools, the culture exalts the athlete and the good-looking cheerleader. Well-educated and intellectual students are commonly referred to in public schools as nerds, dweebs, dorks, or geeks. You know, I mean, even in my, when I was in high school in the 80s, that's exactly how it was. You had the heads, you had the jocks, and then you had the dorks or the geeks. I always wrote, like, that fine line between all of them. I hung out, I don't know, I had jockey boyfriends and I dressed like a jock, but I was a partier on the backside. But I used to take my homework to go party. I'd be partying on the beach doing my homework. Yet, I was one of the very few kids who knew anything about computers in 1982 and had my own Commodore 64 and created my very first own, I think it was a JPEG. It wasn't a PNG. No, a bitmap, a BMP, of a hot air balloon that moved diagonally from the bottom of the screen to the top of the screen, and it took like 3 months to make that. It says these anti-Intel, and the nerds, dweebs, dorks, and geeks are relentlessly harassed and even assaulted by the more popular jocks for openly displaying any intellect. See, you have to know how to play the game. I was a player. I knew how to play the game. And you guys know me. Like I said, it's all for one and one for all. I love learning about different people and different lifestyles. And so I've always been like the chameleon. I don't know. You know, I mean, there are certain people I just can't fucking deal with where I want to poke them in the eyes and it doesn't last long. But I can relate. You know, you get good at that in business. Because if you don't do business with everyone you don't like, then you're not going to get very far. You got to learn to smile and pretend. you know, but whatever. To be able to cross those lines, I learned a lot. Says these anti-intellectual attitudes are not reflected in students in most European and Asian countries whose educational levels are now equal and will surpass that of the US. And I'm going to say that they already long ago have. John Trefgan, professor of religious studies at the University of Texas, argues the problem is that Asian countries have core cultural values. Yes, something we've completely lost in this country, that are more akin to a cult of intelligence and education than a cult of ignorance and anti-intellectualism. In Japan, for example, teachers are held in high esteem and normally viewed among the most important members of a community. And there is a suspicion and even disdain for the work of teachers that occurs in the U.S. Teachers in Japan typically are paid significantly more than their peers in the U.S., and the profession of teaching is one that is seen as being of central value in Japanese society. And those who choose that profession are well compensated in terms of salary, pension, and respect for their knowledge and efforts on behalf of the children. And they should very well be, considering that they are grooming the next generation of a nation. In addition, we do not see in Japan significant numbers of the types of religious schools that are designed to shield children from knowledge about basic tenets of science and accepted understandings of history, such as evolutionary theory or the religious views of the founding fathers, who were largely deists, which are essential to having fundamental understanding of the world. The reason for this is because, in general, Japanese educational value of the work of intellectuals and seen as a well-educated public with a basic common knowledge in areas of scientific fact, math, history, literature, etc., as being essential foundations to a successful democracy. And yes, I'm going to agree 100%. All right, last paragraph here. Thank goodness we made it. We are creating a world of dummies, angry dummies who feel that they have the right, the authority, and the need not only to comment on everything, but to make sure that their voice is heard above the rest and to drag down any opposing views through personal attacks, loud repetition, and confrontation. And you know what? That isn't the end, but I can't read any more of that. I have to agree 100% with everything that that story said. That has been my point for quite a while now. That is exactly what is happening. I don't think they even went far enough because I think it has a lot to do with the dopamine and the addiction center and how we've addicted everybody to our devices, our foods, and things of that nature that are bad for us. Now, what I find interesting is when I shared this story, this interview yesterday about Orwell, not one person commented on it. So I hate to say it, but some of these people are part of the problem. All right, here we go. We got about 10 minutes left. I want to play this as a few minutes, and maybe we can jump into one or two more things.
What happened in 1984?
Oh, I don't know. 1984? I'm not good with my history.
The book.
I don't know.
What does Orwellian mean?
No clue.
What does the NSA stand for? What is Edward Snowden best known for? Have you been to college?
Yeah, community college, so that's probably why.
Pretty obvious.
Oh my God. I just can't even get over how absolutely brain dead America is. I showed these to my dad this past week, and my father's like, man, Jewel, we're fucked. We're totally fucked. I totally agree. And, you know, he almost made me take my cell phone up to the grocery store. He's like, you should go. You should go to the grocery store and start asking people questions down the aisles and see what happens. And I didn't, but it would have been funny. And I'll guarantee you we would have found the same thing there. You know, my friend came over, a friend that I grew up with, while we were watching these, and she knew exactly where this beach is that Dice goes to. She said it's the boardwalk in California. So these aren't just local, necessarily local Californians. This is a lot of international tourists come through here. You have people from all over. So it's a good place to get a subsection of the general populace. All right, let's continue a little bit more.
What do you think about George Orwell?
I don't know who that is.
What's Edward Snowden best known for?
Good question.
What does Orwellian bring to mind?
Absolutely nothing.
Oh, man. What do you think of George Orwell?
Honestly, I don't really know who he is.
Orwellian ring a bell?
Not really.
Double speak?
No.
Snowden.
No.
The Fourth Amendment.
Chilling. I don't know.
Okay.
Do you know?
All right. You next.
Yeah.
What does Orwellian bring to mind?
You know, I've heard of the name, but I couldn't really express any more upon that.
Edward Snowden bring to mind anything?
Sorry, couldn't. I'm probably the same spot as he is.
What happened in 1984?
1984 was the Declaration of Independence. I really...
What?
Have no clue.
Nope.
All right. What happened in 1984?
I have no idea.
What is Edward Snowden best known for?
Edward Snowden?
Yes.
Wow, you got me on that one.
What does Orwellian mean?
I have no idea.
Okay. What does the NSA stand for?
NSA? I don't know.
What happened in 1984?
To who?
In the book.
Okay, what book?
1984.
The book, 1984.
Yeah, what happened in that book?
Who wrote the book? I'm just saying.
Oh. What's George Orwell best known for?
Oh my goodness, I don't know anything about politics anymore.
What happened in
1984? I can't say, really.
What does Orwellian mean?
Orwellian? Orwellian? Somebody from the Wells?
Somebody from the Wells.
Yeah, somebody from Wells.
What does Orwellian mean?
I don't know.
What's George Orwell best known for?
I don't know.
What happened in 1984?
I don't know.
What is the NSA?
I don't know.
Okay.
Oh my God, these people. And they think it's funny. They giggle. I don't know. You know, 1984 was required reading when I was in high school. If you don't know, George Orwell was required reading in high school.
Talking about George Orwell today. Thoughts on George Orwell?
I've only read one of his books. I don't know what it was called, like 1847, or I don't know what it was called. Something like that.
What happened in 1984?
I don't remember.
The book that you read.
I don't remember.
What does the NSA stand for?
Don't remember. I'm not that kind. I won't be able to answer any of your questions.
What's Edward Snowden best known for?
Don't know.
What's the Fourth Amendment?
I can't remember.
You know, yesterday, too, as we were reading about how digital devices are causing us to become stupid and not be able to remember any type of ancillary information after we look it up. Look at these people. They don't even remember the basic. The dude even said he read the book, but it was called like 1864 or something. And he said, well, what was the book about? I don't remember.
What happened in 1984?
I don't know.
The book.
What book?
1984.
Never heard of it.
Orwellian, ring a bell?
No.
Edward Snowden, ring a bell?
No.
NSA, ring a bell?
A little.
What does Orwellian bring to mind?
Like Orson Welles?
Orwell? George Orwell. George Orwell.
Nothing.
What's up, sir?
Is it an Oceanside thing?
It's in, no. 1984, the book.
Orson Welles. Yeah.
George Orwell.
Oh. Why do I keep saying Orson Welles?
What's George Orwell best known for?
Animal Farm in 1984.
God, someone who reads books. Someone arrest this man. what was the overall theme of 1984?
I think it was a totalitarianism city or something of his idea on Marxism also.
This man reads books. Someone call the police and arrest this man. Thanks for watching. Subscribe.
Yay! The last guy got it, and he's absolutely right. Somebody call the police. I know people in chat, you know, talking about Mark Dice. I don't watch all of Mark Dice's stuff. You know, you agree with people on some stuff and not on others, but I have to say that, you know, going out and just being the man on the street and asking questions, there's nothing wrong with that. And even if they edit it out and put the top 10 stupid people, it is beyond question that there are a large number of people out there that don't have a fucking clue. And I have to tell you, I really, really think that that is a big problem that we're having, and we've done it to ourselves. This is this whole dumbing down with devices, with the dangling carrot, with the dopamine addiction. It has managed to completely eviscerate any type of intellectualism in this country. And without intellectualism, without thought, without memory, without being able to put two and two together as four, without someone telling you that it's five, we will not win this war. All right, guys. Well, if you can even believe it, that was like probably the fastest hour yet. There's about 10 seconds left. Make sure you stick around. It is Wednesday. We have Josh live at 6 p.m. Eastern. The boys from New York City tonight at 8. Josh, Jonathan and Steven. 9 p.m. Truth or Talk with April and Verstein. And at 11, it is Anti-Media Radio with Nick and DB. All right, guys, everybody have an awesome Wednesday, and I will catch up with you tomorrow. Everybody take care.